Well, I started Tacoma Ocean Fest because I was so disturbed by all that plastic pollution in the ocean. And the more I learned about it, the more disturbed I got. And I thought, well, what can one person do against that whole sea of trash out there? And I thought, well, I know a lot of the artists in town and some of the scientists and the environmental groups, and I thought I could maybe get a festival together, never having done a festival before.
Okay, this is Marilyn Kimmerling and this is Eddie Dunnerow. We're here at the first festival since COVID, and I can't tell you how happy I am to be here today. And we are here at Ocean Fest down at 705 Dock Street. We're gonna wander around and give you a taste of it and interview people and do a little bit of the Puyallup opening blessing. So come with us. Hi, would you like to talk to Radio Tacoma and tell us what you're doing here?
Sure.
Sure.
And what is your name?
My name is Mary Krauser, and I'm here with Rob Krebel, and we're representing Pierce Conservation District, talking to folks about what we do to support ocean and Puget Sound health.
Wonderful. And what do you do?
I get to work with folks who live on the shoreline of Puget Sound and work with them to take good care of their beaches.
Okay, and what do you do?
So I help private landowners and public groups to help install green stormwater infrastructure on their property, which helps to reduce the pollution that goes into Puget Sound, impacting all of our wildlife there.
Wonderful.
Yeah.
And I hear, well, actually, I live down in the North End.
Okay.
And, of course, Owen Beach is closed right now for
yep.
a couple of years because they need to do some erosion
yep.
mitigation. And I understand that they're putting a rainwater garden.
Oh, that's excellent.
Up there. So that'll be interesting.
Yeah, there's already a big one in Point Defiance. There's the roundabout that goes down to the
right.
dock parking. So there's a really large rain garden there. I have one at my home that I got through the Conservation District's assistance program. So, yeah, there's a lot of resources that we have for different homeowners who are interested in putting in some of these green stormwater infrastructure practices on their own property.
How would they contact you?
So we've got our website, of course, piercecd.org.
That's piercecd.org?
Yep, and you can find all of our information there. And folks can also see us around in the community. We go to festivals like this all the time. So.
Okay. Thank you.
Yeah.
Now, I have one question for you, and
you
may not know the answer to this, but I understand that they're building up the seawall in order to prevent the ocean rise from damaging more of Owen Beach. And my concern about that, and the listener's going to have to be pretty forgiving of us because we're wearing masks right now, so I'm sorry if it's a little bit hard to hear, but my concern about that is from what I hear, building storm walls like that is very bad for the environment. Do you know anything about that?
That's actually my job.
Yeah,
so absolutely. Wherever it's possible, we are encouraging people who live on or have property on Puget Sound to look for softer alternatives than hard seawalls. I don't know specifically about the project plans at Owen Beach, but... you know, there are a lot of really strong regulatory pieces in place to help encourage softer options where they are feasible and where we can do that without, you know, risking people's homes or things like that. So a lot of what we do at the Conservation District is working with private landowners
mm-hmm.
and helping to absolutely educate them about softer alternatives that are going to be more friendly to the beach and to the wildlife who use the beach and helping people to avoid seawalls at all or take out seawalls that they don't maybe need anymore and just encourage them to restore their beaches where they can.
So I guess I just need to do a little sleuthing and to find out more about what they're planning down at Owen Beach.
Yeah, I think so. And I mean, I know that that project has gone through lots of different design iterations, going back and forth with the regulators and things like that. And usually there's pretty good info on the Metro Parks website. So.
Thank you.
Yeah.
And now Eddie has something to say.
I was wondering specifically, what is the damage that is caused by the seawalls?
Yeah, great question. Why are seawalls harmful to Puget Sound? There's a couple different reasons. One is that often seawalls are built over the beach so that we can kind of fill in more, you know, quote, land that we can build on. And so basically that shrinks the beach that's available for the things that live on the beach.
Would be built right on the beach?
Sometimes it is, yeah. Other times it's higher up. And then what we see is that seawalls really change how water and land interact, right? So if a wave comes up and smashes into a wall, it's going to deflect and can actually scour away the beach. So you can have a beach go from being nice sandy gravel to being really coarse, big rock, right? Or you can just have the seawalls prevent sand and gravel from being able to move around on the beach, which is actually really important in Puget Sound. That's how all of our beaches are built and maintained, is by waves moving around sand and gravel. And why do we care about sand and gravel on the beach? Well, it makes it pleasant for us to visit the beach when we have nice sand and gravel to sit on or whatever. But also it's important for the animals that live on and use the beach, especially little teeny tiny fish, which we call forage fish, which are critical food for all sorts of things, from birds to salmon, and then, you know, just a link in the food chain all the way up to our orca whales.
Well, and I heard that it really messes with the beach's ability to grow things like eelgrass and things like that, which is habitat for those little creatures.
Definitely. Yeah, there's lots of reasons that we've learned over the recent decades that seawalls are harmful to the environment, and they're really cumulative. Maybe one parcel's seawall isn't a big deal, but when we add it all up, over a third of the entire Puget Sound shoreline at this point has a seawall on it of some sort. So it really adds up. But there are all these programs out here now helping folks to restore beaches where they can and take out those seawalls where they can, because it really just interferes with a lot of natural processes, and in a lot of cases doesn't actually provide a long-term solution for the landowner either. So we want to help find alternatives that are better for people and for Puget Sound.
Well, I just learned quite a bit.
Yeah. So Mary, I have one last question for
you. Yeah.
So if the listener wants to volunteer and get involved, who would they contact and how would they do that?
Well, like Rob said, you can go on our website, which is piercecd.org. Mm-hmm. And on there, if you're particularly interested in shorelines, we have our shore-friendly program.
Shore-friendly program.
Shore-friendly. And I'm the one who does that. My name is Mary Krauser, so folks can get in touch with me directly.
Well, you sure were friendly today.
Oh, wonderful. Thank you. Yeah. Thanks for stopping by.
Informative.
Oh,
thank
wonderful.
You.
Yeah.
Radio Tacoma.
Hi.
And I'd love to talk to you guys.
Yeah, absolutely.
If I could, about what you're doing here and what you're all about.
Uh-huh, yeah.
What are your names?
So, my name is Britt McGrath. I'm Zephyr Robert. I'm the Education and Outreach Manager at Tacoma Audubon.
Well, I'm a kind of a bird guy myself. Yes. I feed them.
What's your favorite bird?
Honestly, I would probably have to say, I love the nuthatch.
Yes.
Oh, that's really pretty.
I love that. The chickadees, of course.
Cool.
And jays.
Yeah, all iconic Washington birds.
Yeah.
Love it. Yeah, so we're Tacoma Audubon Society. We serve all of Pierce County. We're your local chapter. There's 25 Audubon chapters in Washington. And we work to connect people to nature through conservation, recreation, and education. So we educate and do things with people anywhere from preschool on up.
Right.
And we're out here talking today specifically about shore birds and marine birds. We have this
Ocean Fest, birds,
absolutely. Right? We're also talking though about our education programs. We partner with the Tacoma Nature Center in education.
Oh yeah, over on Center Street.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And I've been there. I love it.
Oh yeah. So Snake Lake is actually
Snake Lake.
Where they are. Yeah, is one of the places that we were able to help conserve back in the day.
Yeah.
So
and
we
it's
have
really
a,
nice.
Yes. So we have a cool legacy.
And they
had
a nice little lodge set up there. And they last time I was there, they had a beehive.
Mm-hmm.
Do they still have that there?
They do.
It's really terrific.
Yeah. It's a really, all about that hands-on learning and education and things like that.
Yeah, yeah.
So
do you, but you don't have a place.
We
have
do.
Where are you located?
The Adriana Huss Wetlands Center.
Oh, right. Yes. Yes. Okay. I worked out there. That's right. Yeah.
So our offices are currently. Oh, no. In University Place.
Oh, University Place.
Yeah. In University Place. Yeah. Right behind the Whole Foods, kind of off of. Just kind of like tucked in there. It's on Morrison Road, 27th and Morrison.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
But it's a wetland park. It's tiny. It's open to the public. We got a great mural there from Curtis Ashby, who's a local artist.
I'll have to get your address. There you go. I'd like to go down there.
Yeah, and there's a dock there. There is a pond, and it's a wetland, like you said. Our offices will be open starting in July, hopefully.
Okay. Yeah.
But the park is open to the public. It is a University Place park, and it has great plants.
I just remember
birds.
Bush tits.
Yes, bush tits.
I think those are my favorite because they travel in a like
full
15,
flock.
20.
And they're so cute and small.
They're just, you know, I put out the suet. It's the only thing that they'll eat.
They don't
care much for seeds, but they come in for the suet.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They have a cool, we actually at our park, we had a bush tit nest. One year that was like, they have these really cool nests that look like teardrop shape, and they're mostly made out of moss and things.
Right.
And we had them just like hanging down under one of the branches.
Well, I imagine that they all huddle together.
Yeah.
Which is why they like the suet.
Birds of a feather flock together.
Right. And which is why they like the suet, I imagine, because they keep each other warm in the winter.
Yeah,
okay. That makes sense.
Cool. Yeah. So
you have events down there at your place.
So
and then
we,
you also, you go out to the schools.
Yeah, yes, to the schools.
That's great.
And local parks. We do a lot of bird walks, free bird walks monthly.
Do you?
That happen. Yeah, all over Pierce County. Uh-huh. We do, hopefully coming up soon, we do have one typically on one Monday a month at Adriana House for like beginning birders, which is really nice to get into.
And how do people do that? Do they drive down to your...
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so if you look at our website, we have a calendar on there, and that'll tell you when and where it's happening. And then you can come and meet us there, and we have, you can just join a bird walk. Right now, due to COVID restrictions, we're actually asking for people to register because we do have limited numbers.
Right, you can only take what, like
10? Yeah, right now we're doing 10, around 10, but we'll see where that ends up as things progress.
Yeah,
so that's where we're at with Tahoma Audubon.
Well, that is great. Yeah, I will have to check you out. And,
please.
We will try and get you on the air.
Yes.
So we can get your message out to everyone in Tahoma so they'll know where to go.
We love that. Thank you. Nice meeting you.
Hi.
Hi, how are you guys?
Well, we're all good. How are you?
Good.
We're with Radio Tahoma. I'm Marilyn, and this is Eddie.
Hi, Marilyn.
And we're here because, hallelujah, it's the first festival of the post-COVID or almost post-COVID.
That's crazy.
And, and so I wanted to interview people and see people who had tables, what they're up to, what they're doing, how people can get involved.
Absolutely.
So what is your name?
So my name is Stephanie Hawks Johnson. I'm the seasonal outreach coordinator for SR3, Sea Life Response Rehab and Research. And SR3 is the first dedicated marine animal hospital in Washington State. We have 6 new patients as of just a week ago. We are dedicated to helping Puget Sound get healthy by helping our animals. Our hospital is in Des Moines, Washington.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And so, like, if I find an injured sea lion on the beach, you would be the person I would call?
You would call the Marine Mammal Stranding Network through NOAA, and they will get in contact with us, and we can come out and pick up the animal.
Can you give that contact information?
I can. So the Marine Mammal Stranding Network number is 1-866-767-6114. Again, that's 866-767-6114.
And that's the Marine Stranding...
Marine Mammal Stranding Network.
Marine Mammal Stranding Network. This is great because I have found injured marine animals and called up Point Defiance and called up the Humane Society, and got no response because they didn't have the capability. So now, if there's a wounded marine mammal, they can maybe get help. How many animals do you have the capacity to take care of at one time?
That is a really great question. I can't answer that at this point because I'm not exactly sure how many animals we're capable of taking.
So. And when did you open?
We just opened. We just opened in June.
Mm-hmm. Oh, congratulations.
Yeah.
So are you a veterinarian or just a volunteer?
I am their seasonal outreach education coordinator.
Mm-hmm. This is wonderful. So you probably are willing to go and do talks to people.
Yes, we are. We are. Yes.
Oh, I see a bright future for you.
Yes.
How common a problem do you find this to be?
It is a very common problem. Matter of fact, there are so many marine mammals that strand every year that are left to die or are euthanized because we didn't have the capacity to take them, and now we do.
Right.
I just learned something else yet again. I didn't think this would... I mean, I've heard about whales. That's usually a big story, but...
Yeah, it's amazing that Washington State is one of the only coastal states that doesn't have a dedicated marine mammal hospital.
Until now.
Yeah. So, yeah.
That's fabulous. And you know what? I see that you're selling a few things, and I'm feeling like supporting you. So how can I support you?
We have totes to sell for $18, reusable totes. We have adoption kits that help support our hospital. You can adopt a killer whale, a humpback whale, a harbor seal, or a sea otter.
I'm looking at your shirts.
Yes, and we also have shirts.
How many animals have
we have six animals.
You have six animals in there right now?
Yeah.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Keep interviewing.
You have six animals in being worked on now.
Yeah, we have six harbor seal pups. Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Yeah.
That were rescued,
yes. And they are all doing fairly well right now.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then you will release them.
We will release them back into the wild in about 3 months. When they're fishing on their
own. Where do you keep them now in the meantime? You got like a big tank or something?
So there is, there's tubs that they're individually kept in. So they have their own little private tub, if you will, private spa.
Yeah.
And then once they get a little bigger and healthier, they graduate to the bigger pool and they can start being with each other.
You just have the pups. You don't have the mom.
Just the pups. Just the pups right now.
Where were they?
So some of them were found off various places in the Puget Sound. Some of them were found off the coast of Washington. The other two, I think, somewhere in Puget Sound. I'm not absolutely positive, but they all were found and brought into the facility and are doing fairly well.
Wow. Well, that's actually that's a great story.
It's exciting.
Yeah.
It's very exciting.
Yeah, it's
to see them healthy. And they were emaciated when they came in.
Now, what would happen if it was a whale? Do you have the capacity?
So SR3 does have a couple different legs. One is our marine animal hospital, but we also have a dedicated whale response team, detangle.
But you have to go to the whale.
We would have to go to the whale.
You don't have a place for the whale.
We have the ability to take an animal up to probably 8 feet. So we do have the ability to take a small whale, dolphin or porpoise.
A small whale, but not one of those.
But not a baleen whale or not a...
Well, do baleen whales even live here?
Yes, they do.
Oh, yeah,
yes.
They come in.
Uh-huh. We have minke whales, we have gray whales, we have humpback whales in this area.
How is the new baby orca doing? Have you been able to...
I think she's doing just fine.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Yeah. So that's encouraging. The southern resident community orcas are definitely in trouble. That's our third leg. So we do disentanglement. We also do southern resident killer whale research, where we use a drone to measure their non-invasive drone up above to measure their girth, essentially their fatness or their skinniness. And unfortunately, we are seeing that the whales are a little bit too skinny for what they need to be, and that is due to a lack of salmon. And a lack of their fish. They also are laden with PCBs, mm-hmm. and they
are doing incredible harm to our oceans.
Yes, it is. The southern residents are really in dire need of help.
Right. I remember the mother whale. Was it Tahlequah?
Tahlequah
2 years ago with the baby on her nose.
Carried her baby for 17 days.
Wow.
17 days.
Mourning it.
Absolutely. And They are really in need of a healthy environment and more salmon in their bellies. And we are part of that research to help them.
Well, I could spend the entire hour with you.
Yeah, that was...
I would love that.
maybe we'll circle back.
And that would be lovely. I definitely have gotten some information.
Okay.
I'm going to end this interview right now because we're non-commercial and I want to buy something from you.
Awesome.
Okay. So you were with the Pierce County Library System, and I'm Marilyn, and this is Eddie. We're from Radio Tacoma, and why are you at Ocean Fest today? And what is your name?
Oh, I'm Brandy, and I'm a librarian, and this is Stacey. She's our science librarian, and we are here to just show the resources that the library has to offer so you can learn all about the ocean and the sea and
conservation efforts in the area. As you can see, we've got lots of books that are region specific, so you can learn all about the efforts in the Salish Sea and our local animals.
You guys fit in everywhere because there's books about everything.
So if anybody's having trouble hearing because of the masks, the answer to my question was that the library has specific information about ocean and environment and our area. And I see a lot of different books here, mostly geared toward children, but I bet you have quite a few for adults, too.
Yes, we are both youth services librarians, so we brought the youth things. But we also have lots of activities in each of our backpacks that are related to the ocean that people can do.
Wonderful.
And we're also signing people up for summer reading.
Yeah. You're signing people up for summer reading?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
This year's summer reading challenge.
And what is the challenge?
It's to read as much as you can all summer long.
And is there something you win if you do it?
Yeah, so at the end we do have raffles. So the adults and teens are entered to win gift cards, and the kids, both the little kids and the bigger kids, are entered to win really awesome art packs because our theme this year is Reading Colors Your World.
Thank you.
I hear, or I know that the library system used to take a real beating, was taking a real beating. Still going on? Is that still happening? Well, just for funding and all.
The levy was passed. I think we're doing okay now.
Are you Pierce County Library or Tacoma Library?
Oh, Pierce County Library, which is separate from Tacoma. Okay. Yeah. Funding sources are completely different.
Yeah,
County Library is quite a bit more funded.
Yeah, it's very different funding sources.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, thank you very much. Hi, I'm fine. How are you?
Good.
My name's Marilyn, and this is Eddie, and we're with Radio Tacoma, and you are with Tacoma Environmental Services. Tell me why you're here at Ocean Fest and what your names are.
Maria did that one.
Okay, hi. My name is Maria Gomez, and this is Josh. We are the Recycle Reset Project Specialists for the City of Tacoma, and we are here to show people the correlation between plastic and the ocean and how it's good to recycle and make sure that the plastic actually goes where it has to go. Also, reducing the use of plastic is the ideal solution, but in the meantime, we just have to make sure that it doesn't become part of the landfill or it doesn't go to the water.
How can I tell if a detergent that I'm using or a toothpaste or a makeup that I'm using has microplastic beads in it?
I really don't know that exactly about microplastics, but I think that most of them produce microplastics after degradation. So degradation is the but I'm not really sure about microplastics, to be honest with you.
Okay. And if somebody wanted to find out more about the Tacoma and what website would they go to, or how would they find out?
TacomaRecycles.org.
TacomaRecycles.org.
And also, we have a super cool game now. Do you want to talk about your game?
Yeah, we have a waste sorting game. So on TacomaRecycles.org, there's a video game that's great for all ages, and it's in 5 languages. And you can it gives you an item, and you kind of drag it to the garbage or to the glass drop-off location. So it's very interactive, and it's a lot of fun. So people should definitely check that out.
I have a personal question to ask about recycling. So when they discontinued the glass pickup, It's not a problem for a person like me who has a car. But so many people do not have cars these days. What are they supposed to do to recycle their glass?
Yeah, that's actually a really great question, and we get it quite a lot. So glass, in terms of its environmental impact in the landfill, is not the worst thing. So actually, they use glass as cover for the landfill. They kind of use it as almost like a top. And they use, so glass is kind of part of the landfill ecosystem already, and it's inert. So actually going to landfill isn't the end of the world. And
then why do they want us to recycle it?
What we propose is, for now, is for people to, you know, like help your community. Like, for example, I let my neighbors know when I'm going to the drop-off station. So if there's someone who doesn't have a car or, you know, has another barrier to go, I can help them bring their But this, it should be better, you're right, and this is a council decision. So if the citizens of Tacoma keep insisting in the need for more infrastructure, council will listen, because we don't make those decisions. So we need, as a community, to tell them, okay, we're handling the glass right now, but we need more infrastructure, and we need to include these people too, and maybe with that, we can find a solution.
It
and
can,
get
it can go in the garbage.
Right.
But what
it's
I'm
not,
hearing,
not the end of the world. It's not like you're doing something
but,
evil.
But it's not necessarily a wise decision on the part of the city council to cut the funding to pick up the glass, especially for people who don't have other transportation, if they want us to believe them when they tell us that we need to recycle. Public trust is very important.
It's not like they have caught it. It's like this is like a pilot, and they need to adjust.
Right.
It's just because of that. So what we
need to do is go down as citizens of Tacoma and say you need to fund the glass recycling to pick up everywhere, so that you're not favoring certain economic communities over other communities. We're all important, and we all matter here in Tacoma. Thank you so much.
I did have one question.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I did have one last question. It would help if they would, they don't have a lot of glass drop-off places. I mean, I know that they, every time I go online, they say, to be announced.
Yeah.
Are they ever going to announce anymore?
So actually, I'm working on some right now. That's actually my, you know, that's what I'm spending a lot of my hours. So here are the current ones, if you have that.
Yeah, right. And there aren't any that are really that close to me. I'm in South Tacoma.
Yeah, so actually that's what I'm working on right now.
We could really use one very close by.
Yeah,
so, I took batteries and glass down this morning, but mine is located very conveniently for us.
And I'm in South Tacoma too, and I go to Stewart Heights, but hopefully we're going to have another one.
Yeah, so if you can get one down, a couple more in South Dakota, that
you'd be surprised at how complex it actually is to get one of those. And I mean, it's so right now I'm trying to partner with some of the grocery stores and, you know, calling them.
Well, that'd be a good idea because, that would be a good idea because what I've noticed where they have Goodwill drop-offs, they're a mess.
Right,
they got a lot of clothes. So imagine what it would be like with glass if people started just throwing stuff around.
Dear listener, I know that my ability to record this conversation that was fast-paced was limited, and there's probably going to be pieces missing. So email us if you have questions about this, and be sure you go on the TacomaRecycles.org sign.
And be sure to email us, because this is important stuff.
Yeah, and go to your city council and tell them, fund glass recycling. All right, thank you very much. My name is Marilyn Kimmerling. I'm with Radio Tacoma, and you are?
I'm Cami Bruner with Zero Waste Washington.
Tell me about Zero Waste Washington.
So primarily we're a policy shop. We push for local and state policy that reduces waste for a healthier future for all. But right here today, we're highlighting our Fix-It fairs and our project, the Repair Economy.
Tell me about the Repair Economy.
The repair economy is connecting repair groups, fixer groups, tool libraries, and maker spaces across the state to form a stronger network so that they can share resources and hopefully get repair as a primary default instead of throwing things away.
Well, no duh.
God bless you. I'm a fix-it guy. I believe in this kind of stuff. So this is one of the most important things that we can do. This all by itself fixes a whole host of other problems.
Exactly.
If people would just start fixing things and stop going to Big Lot, Home Depot, and just buying more stuff.
More plastic?
With plastic or whatever.
You know, the longer
we used to fix things. We used to enjoy fixing things, and now we just go to the store. And that's what creates a lot of these other problems that people are here trying to stop.
Exactly. We do a lot of upstream work, so reducing the burden on people at the individual level. So by encouraging people to keep their belongings longer, we keep them out of the landfills and ultimately out of our oceans, because we know where a lot
of
it goes.
Also,
one at a time.
Yeah. I get ideas and I got it.
Yeah.
But also, people need to get with the bigger groups to make things. People don't make things to be fixed anymore. I mean, they're not, you can't fix them at the individual level. That's not how they're made. And that's the biggest part of the problem. You can't even work on most cars anymore like you used to do. You know, you bring it in and you got to have a specialty person for this. They got to pull the engine to change the water pump.
I think it's a plane flying overhead. Hold on just a minute.
That's real flavor. That's the real flavor of the fair, folks. Brains flying over. So, and that's a big part of the problem, is that you can't fix a lot of things, and they shouldn't be made. That's a big problem.
Planned obsolescence.
Well, I have a sewing machine that has somehow the pedal is missing on it. And so with your fix-it fairs, is there a way that I could say I need a pedal for this particular sewing machine model?
So typically, two things. Typically at our repair fairs, fix-it fairs, there are different models across the state. If something needs to be diagnosed, you bring it in and talk with one of the tinkerers, and they can say, okay, these are the parts that you'll need. You can go to this place to find them and then bring them back to the next fix-it fair, and we can help you assemble it, work on it. Simultaneously, we're putting together a list of repair shops across the state that specialize in individual types of fixies.
So if I know the name of my sewing machine and what piece I need and just need to locate it, I would go to
repaireconomywa.org.
Wonderful.
And they would have a schedule about where you have your
we
fairs.
Actually, we have a calendar that we're starting to develop.
Great.
For the repair events across the state. So it's pretty tiny here, but
I haven't got my glasses on.
I can't even see it.
That would be a nice thing to get with Radio Tacoma about, so that they can announce it to people so that they will know when you're having those.
Mm-hmm.
Because otherwise you don't have a one set place then. It's just on it.
No, and because we're coordinating amongst
right.
groups across the state, we're sort of a clearinghouse.
Right.
We do our own fix-it fairs, not right now, but as things start to open up and do more in-person events, we will be putting all of those events on our calendar.
Yeah.
So from San Juan's all the way to Spokane.
Yeah, if you can get that calendar to us, we could announce that during one of our spots.
We would love to. Yeah. And I'm going to say repaireconomywa.org for the listener, because that's important. And let's fix it. Let's use it. Let's use it up. Let's dare to repair. Let's dare to share. I have a lawnmower that I don't need 7 days a week. So why not lend it out? And I could sure use a little bit of instruction on how to use a chainsaw. So maybe on the Dare to Repair, you could also have Dare to Share Knowledge.
Yeah.
And that's exactly with the tool libraries, Tacoma specifically, you can get instruction on how to use tools.
Right, and that's a fabulous little place.
Mm-hmm. And they actually do fix the fairs one at a time.
Tacoma Tool Library.
Yeah.
Yeah, when we were going to originally put it together.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And it just moved to the Central Library, I believe. So they're starting up doing more tool rentals, and are going to do more fix-it fairs in the coming months.
Fix-it fairs are great.
And I have to share with the listener that, now tell me your name again.
Cammie.
Cami is wearing earrings made out of clothespins. So if that isn't a clever...
Safety pins.
A reuse of... clothespins, safety pins. Thank you. Out of safety pins. And if that isn't a clever reuse, I don't know what is.
That's wonderful. What's the outside hoop made out of?
It's an old pop can.
Pop can. See, that's terrific. Huh?
And
that
I had a friend that used to make earrings out of the metal from pop cans.
Perfect.
Yeah.
Thank you.
I'm Eddie Don Rowe. What you're doing here at SeaFest? Is that what they call it?
Ocean Fest. So yeah, we're 350 Tacoma, and we're a local climate justice group, and we're here at Ocean Fest just trying to educate people about the climate crisis and what action they can take to help fight it.
So what is the crisis exactly?
Well, the climate crisis, we're burning fossil fuels at an incredible rate, and as we burn fossil fuels, that adds greenhouse gases into the atmosphere, like carbon dioxide and methane, and then that causes the Earth to heat up. And so actually this year, scientists are predicting that we're going to have a really bad wildfire season because there's already a historic drought in the Southwest.
The last 2 years has been awful.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah, and people are saying that's what we kind of have to get used to because that's probably going to happen every year.
Yeah, so the climate crisis is destabilizing our climate and life on Earth as we know it. And we know exactly what we need to do. We need to get off fossil fuels and transition to a green energy economy. But unfortunately, our politicians aren't doing it. So here in Tacoma, for instance, our community has been asking the city for 4 years to ban fossil fuel expansion, and they have still refused to do so. And they just had a vote a couple weeks ago, and it was 5-4 not to ban fossil fuel expansion.
Well, you know what that's all about. They're going to squeeze every penny they can out of fossil fuel.
Well, it's short-sighted.
Until it's all gone, and then they'll do something.
Yeah.
And then it may be too late.
Well, then it may be.
Yeah.
There's a tipping point with climate where you can't just put a patch on it.
Yeah, I think they already say we're going to blow past 1.5 degrees Celsius, which is not a good thing.
Nope.
And the amount of oil that oil companies already know about in the Earth exceeds our carbon budget already. Yeah. And so we have a long road ahead of us to do.
Too much money to be made.
Yeah.
What are some of the other things that are affected by that are a sign of things to come that might be happening?
What do you mean, like the wildfires?
Yeah,
and
right. What are some of the other, like I know the oceans are affected.
Yeah, so exactly with Ocean Fest. So the oceans have actually been absorbing a lot of the carbon dioxide we've emitted since industrialization.
Right.
And as the ocean absorbs carbon dioxide, it becomes more acidic. And so you may have heard how here in the Puget Sound, actually some shellfish weren't able to form their own shells.
Yes, I have.
They're breeding them in Hawaii and bringing them back when they're older because they can't go through that natural life cycle here.
Yeah.
And I've also heard, and I'm certainly no expert on the subject, but there's an oceanic conveyor that gets affected by the melting of icebergs, which it decreases the salinity and affects the oceanic conveyor. You can't get warm water to cold places. You can't get the cold water to warm places.
Yeah.
Raises havoc.
Yeah, they talk about that in the Atlantic. So ironically, if that were to collapse, that conveyor system that brings warm air up into the north of Europe, then those places could actually get colder for a while.
Yep.
We're messing with every life support system on the planet. That doesn't bode well for our future. So, when we talk about saving the Earth, it's really about saving ourselves and the rest of the species.
So I have a question for you. So with COVID, a lot of things shut down, Dan. But are they having in-person meetings again, or is it still all just virtual?
Who? 350 Tacoma?
350.
Oh, okay, so we're still having a virtual. Actually, in July, we're going to have an outdoor meeting at a park here in Tacoma, like we did a couple years ago. We'll be having a potluck, so if people who are comfortable sharing food could come do that, or else you can bring your own food. So that'll be the third Wednesday in July at 6 p.m., and we'll announce it on our Facebook page and Instagram page where that will be. We're trying to decide which park.
Are your headquarters going to open up again?
Yeah, we really want to open up. As many of you may know, we have a place at 311 Puyallup Avenue.
It is so cool. I love that place, and it's so central and so vital for the work that we need to be doing in Tacoma.
yeah, it's so nice to have a place where we can gather with our allies and plan campaigns and just get together and be with other people who actually want to stop the climate crisis. And so actually right now, even though we're not using it much, you can drive by at night and see that we've lit up two of the windows, and we have a giant puppet of the CEO from Puget Sound Energy with her arms around the liquefied natural gas tank.
I loved that. Yeah, and I've missed it. I mean, Zoom is okay if you have to have it, but I am so sick of Zoom. I want to get together, and like, this is the first real festival we've had in Tacoma since COVID, and I'm so excited to be here and see people and actually see them and be with them.
Yeah, that's such an important part, is this feeling of community that we get in joining this fight together. I know, yeah, it's so heartwarming to actually, like, yeah, see your face again, you know? And I can't wait till we have more of these gatherings like this.
So
It's coming.
The third Wednesday
of July, which I
think is July. And I've been to some of these before. They're really lovely. Bring something, share something.
And we're thinking Wright Park. We're thinking one of the parks with a bathroom, but we're still trying to decide which one. But yeah, it would be great if people want to show up, and then you can find out how to plug into the movement. We still have a lot to do convincing the city to ban fossil fuel expansion. We're still fighting Puget Sound Energy's fracked methane gas refinery.
They haven't started production, have they? They said they were going to start in May.
Yeah, they said they wanted to fire up. So from my understanding, they've been doing tests, but they still don't have their primary customer. I mean, Tote Maritime, which has those two cargo ships that come and go to Alaska, they're not going to be ready for the fuel until 2022.
Yay!
So
now they're going to want to export it in the meantime if they get the go-ahead.
Yeah.
And they swore they wouldn't.
Exactly. Puget Sound Energy and the city have sworn the whole time that they're never going to be able to barge it. They said that the connections to the tow ships were proprietary and can never be duplicated, which was ridiculous.
Yeah.
But, of course, Puget Sound Energy has been advertising to barge it to other ships, like maybe up in the Seattle area.
So, now, I know you have a very active Facebook site, but if somebody doesn't do Facebook... And the Facebook site, by the way, is Tacoma 350.
350 Tacoma.
Yeah. But if they went on a website, what would the website be?
350tacoma.org.
Okay. Listener, this is one of the best active groups around. It's one that has my heart, although it hasn't had my physical body lately. And I am looking forward to getting physically involved again. So thank you for your time, Dan.
Thank you, Marilyn. Thank you.
Tell me if you're a friend here. Oh, my name's Eddie.
Eddie.
I'm Douglas.
George.
This is George. Marilyn Kimmerling here.
And we're with Radio Tacoma.
Oh, I know you are.
So what's the progress?
Well, we're coming along. The whole story is we need members. And you know that story.
Well, how many members do you have?
We have 220.
And you need 250.
We need 500.
Oh, that went up.
Well, no, it's been the aim. But let me say this. Even with the difficulties of COVID and not being able to have any in-person events, we gained about 45 members in the last 9 months or 10 months. This summer is going to be a big membership drive, and we're really aiming for that 500 so we can open a store.
Let me explain, listener.
Where were you going to open it? Well, the aim is to be on Hilltop or in Central Tacoma, in that area, which needs food stores, and they really need a place that has organic and locally sourced fresh food.
So, listener, let me explain something. There's co-ops and there's co-ops. You're listening to a Grid City Co-op, which is a co-op based on membership of the people who buy the food. They're looking for people to buy into opening this cooperative in the Hilltop where there's food desert for fresh organic food. You would be a member, not just purchasing, but also helping to make decisions if that's what you want to do. And if we've learned anything during COVID, it's that communities need to form self-help groups such as the Mutual Aid Cooperative. Well, this is Grit City Cooperative. I won't get into the politics of it. We have something that's calling itself a cooperative down on Pearl Street in the North End, where it's not needed as much. it does not meet my definition of cooperative. So if you're truly interested in a cooperative venture, Grit City Co-op is well worth your support financially and physically.
So you can find us online at gritcitycoop.com, and you can become a member owner. I like to emphasize that you become an owner with all the benefits of owning the store that you shop in. And it's only $100. Somebody pointed out to me that Amazon Prime costs $100 a year.
Right.
Well, and you're not even an owner.
Right.
Whereas $100 here will give you ownership for as long as you cooperate.
Yeah. If you believe in community and you believe in Tacoma, Grit City Co-op. Thank you.
Thank you, Brian.
Yeah, the co-op. Well,
we still have oceans to kayak in.
So this is Radio Tacoma, and I'm Marilyn, and this is Eddie. What are your names?
I'm Sindel.
Cameron.
Come into the microphone.
Cameron. Kyle.
And who are you, and what do you do?
We're part of Metro Parks Tacoma, and we have kayaking trips that we offer on the weekends. And so we're down here with Ocean Fest, and we're giving away free 30-minute kayak trips today for people to try it out. And then they can go on trips on the weekends with us if they like it.
And they won't have to worry about falling in and getting wet because they're already wet.
Yeah, they're already raining out. Exactly.
For sure.
Exactly.
So if they wanted to rent a kayak and it's not Ocean Fest, where would they go?
Yeah, so we don't rent kayaks, we do guided trips.
Where would they go?
They can go to our website, metroparkstacoma.com.
And then metroparkstacoma.com. Yeah. And then what specifically?
So then they can go to, we have a section for outdoor adventures.
Outdoor adventures.
Yep, and that's our program. And then from there, we have trips all through summer they can sign up for. So
trips all through summer. And how much do they cost?
They range in price from $45 to $65 for a day, a three-hour trip. We go to all different locations around the South Sound. And so we go anywhere from Blake Island over there, or we go to the Nisqually Delta, or even just right here in the Foss Waterway in Tacoma.
What level of proficiency does a person have to go on these trips?
They are beginner and intermediate trips. So if someone has never kayaked before, beginner trips are a great way to just get on the water. And then if you've done it maybe a few times or gone on one of our beginner trips, then one of our intermediate trips would be what they would be in for.
And what if you're a pathetic elder that's stiff and sore?
Well, we'll work with you, help you get in the boat and get you on the water, because everyone should get on the water and kayak. So.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. This is guided kayak trips, and it doesn't say for pathetic elders here.
Family, beginner, intermediate.
Okay.
So it tells you exactly what the trip is, everything but the price.
Which are on our website.
Yeah.
Between $45 and $65.
$45. And how about for a family?
So it's still just range in price, but you still have to sign up individually.
Okay, yeah. All right.
How long of a trip is? How long do they? How long do
they?
They vary.
3 hours or 2 hours here in the Foss Waterway. Yep.
So like right out there, you would.
Yep. Yep.
So 3 hours or 2 hours.
Yeah. Today on the hour, every hour.
Are you really?
Yeah. So they're free today, just to try it out.
Yeah.
30 minutes.
Thank you.
Yeah. Thank you.
My name is Rosemary Ponacanti.
And is this the first year you've done this festival?
This is actually the fourth year of Tacoma Ocean Fest.
Uh-huh.
We started in 2018, and last year it was all online, of course, because of the pandemic. So we're really, really excited to be back here in person, but COVID safe, of course.
And it's the first festival that's not virtual of this year that I've been to. I'm so excited to be down here.
I believe it is the first festival that's live. All the musicians are telling me they're so excited to be here and playing for an audience. I think everybody's just really ready to celebrate and gather in a safe way.
Yes. And so I've gone every year too, except for last year when it was virtual. So what, obviously you love what you're doing. What is it that really is the prime thing for you about why this is meaningful to do?
Well, I started Tacoma Ocean Fest because I was so disturbed by all that plastic pollution in the ocean. And the more I learned about it, the more disturbed I got. And I thought, well, what can one person do against that whole sea of trash out there? And I thought, well, I know a lot of the artists in town and some of the scientists and the environmental groups, and I thought I could maybe get a festival together, never having done a festival before. And it turned out to be the perfect thing for people to learn about the ocean and about the problems it's facing it, but in a fun way where they can celebrate, where they can hear other people's stories, listen to other people's music, even, you know, get their hands wet and get their feet wet by trying out kayaking and things like that. And that's why I started Ocean Fest, is to celebrate the ocean and get people inspired to protect it.
And it's been going for more than 4 years, hasn't it?
No, just 4 years.
Okay, there was something before that.
There was something, but it wasn't so much on the ecology. It was just on the Puget Sound.
It was Maritime Fest,
right.
Which was focused on boats. Mm-hmm. And that's great. But ours is focused on animals and species and ecosystems and how humans can help support that.
Right. And I so appreciate this. And thank you for being the first in-person festival and for thinking about how much our local musicians need support to continue, because art saves lives. I don't care if it's visual art or audible art or dance. It allows us to imagine. And without imagining a better future, we won't survive.
That's so true. I couldn't agree more, and that's exactly why I like doing Ocean Fest.
Thank you so much. And Katie, I hear an accent. Where are you from originally?
It's Rosemary, and I'm sorry. That's okay. I'm from Australia.
Australia?
Yes.
Well, you certainly know with all those horrible fires and things that are happening. Yeah.
Exactly. We need to take care of our environment for ourselves and for the other creatures and plants that we share this earth with.
And in case anybody who's listening has not been down to 705 Dock Street, it is the Working Maritime Museum. There are wonderful, wonderful boats here and displays of marine mammal skeletons and information for people to learn about this wondrous place we live in and which we should treasure and treat gently. Thank you very much, Rosemary, for having this interview with us.
You're so welcome, Marilyn. Can I put in a quick plug for the rest of the month's events? Because
yes,
Tacoma Ocean Fest doesn't stop this weekend. We've got a whole month's worth of events. We've got marine biologist-led beach walks next weekend that are also being live-streamed. We've got a film fest at the Grand Cinema that is live. Woohoo!
In person.
In person, but tickets are very limited, obviously, for capacity. So go on the website and find out all about that. And we've got a cleanup at Swan Creek Park, cleaning up the creek. And around Tacoma Parks this month on weekends, we have a trash octopus, which is a giant sculpture that doubles as a trash can. It is right here at the moment down at Ocean Fest, but it's going to be at different parks on different weekends in June, so people can come put trash in the trash octopus and get reminded that we need to keep trash out of the ocean.
Anything else?
People can find out information about all those events on our website, tacomaoceanfest.org, or on our Facebook or Instagram.
And on Facebook, what are you called?
Tacoma Ocean Fest.
Tacoma Ocean Fest. Thank you so much.